let there be light. I guess I'm not God. Good morning, Rock Bible Church. It's good to be here. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on His day. Amen? Of course, they're all His days, but this day in particular. Welcome back to 2 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to continue our series today. Before we do, men, join me tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right in here, men's group. We're going through the four faces of biblical manhood. We apparently we're supposed to act like kings, and not these kings, not like some of the kings we're going to see in this book, but the biblical definition of what is our character, what has He designed us for, created us to be. So would love for you to join us. We had far too much fun last week. So, I mean, if you want to miss out, feel free. If you want to join us, you'll have a good time. So there you go. Shameless commercial. We're going to continue our series in the book of 2 Samuel. David has finally become king after a whole book and a couple chapters. And, it's going to be interesting today because he's going to act like a king. He's going to set an example. In fact, last week, the chapter we looked at, Joab, who the leader of his army, actually followed his example and was merciful. And he stopped from chasing someone and killing them and showed mercy. Followed the example that David had set all the time he was running from Saul. We're hoping that lesson stuck with Joab. Although I know we're going to read the passage today, we're going to find out it was a fleeting moment, and he's going to mess it up in this chapter. So this is a story for those of us who get things right sometimes and then mess things up sometimes. We all qualify for that, right? Don't raise your hands. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. But let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. It's quite a story this morning, so we're gonna fly. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for your word. Thanks for your promises. Thank you for what we sang, that you are sovereign, in control of all things, and you reign. That means you're involved. You keep order. And we many times step out, act out, and try to take control. And I pray that the story today that we read would remind us that we are to submit to you, that you are alive and well, you have a plan, and we can be part of that plan. And so we ask the blessing of your word as we go through it. Be with us in this time, and may it glorify you and your son. And we pray this in his name, Jesus. Amen. 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 2 Samuel chapter 3. If you get your outline and look on the back, on the outline, it says 2 Samuel chapter 3. And then it says, what the anointed know. I wanted to have a little bit of fun. Chapter 1, we called it, how do you know? Right, and then does anybody remember what we called last week? The ABCs of what you know. And today we're going to see the anointed, what the anointed know. Right, and we're going to see this at the end of the story. If you look at that little number right there, it says, what's that number, that tiny one? 39. At the very, yes, we're doing at least 39 verses today. Praise the Lord, it's going to be awesome. He says, I was gentle today, though anointed king. I love that. That stuck in my mind. It sat on me. It fell on me this week. This idea that just because you have a position, other places in the Bible say, doesn't mean you lord it over people, or you flex your muscles, or you force things. We can be gentle. Men can be gentle? Wow. I was gentle today, though anointed king. What's the though do there? in spite of being made king. I could have flexed. I could have had my way. I could have forced my will. And yet he said, nah, I'll be gentle today. Because there's people more severe than I. And let's have them be repaid for their evilness. To me, this is you have two choices. And the choice for us is know the things that the anointed know. Those who are in God's will, following God's will, looking for God's will, responding to it, praying for it, talking to others about it, chase that. And that's what we're going to look at. So there, I just gave away the whole premise of the sermon, right? Sometimes you have to wait for the fill-ins at the end. I gave you a free commercial. Let's go back to chapter 1 because we got to read 38 other verses before we get to this one, right? All right, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Pick up your Bible and read it, or you can follow along up on the screen. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Saul has died, and David has now been anointed king. But Saul's clan, his army commander, his sons, they still exist. And they like the palace and their chauffeur, prime seating at all the restaurants. They don't want to give that up. So the commander of the army takes one of the sons of Saul and says, hey, you're going to be the king. And so they keep going. And of course, all of Judah and such is on David's side. You're king. So when you have two kings in the same place, it becomes a dogfight. David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. And the sons were born to David at Hebron. This is going to be fun, okay? You need to practice pronouncing all of these names at home. Never. Okay, here we go. His first son, Amnon of Ahinoam of Jezreel. And his second, Chileab of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And the third, Absalom, son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. Fourth, Adonijah, son of Haggith. And the fifth, Shephatiah, son of Abigail. And the sixth, Ithream of Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. He was in Hebron a little over 7 years. He's going to move on to back to Jerusalem and such later. But he's starting to have kids, right? He's building his house. And while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Abner's the commander of the army of what used to be Saul. And he's building his following. Watch what he does. Saul had a concubine whose name was, on the next slide, Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner. Anybody remember who Ishbosheth is? He's like, I have that name. That's really hard to say. He's Saul's son who's been made a puppet king by Abner. Well, this person who has been made king by Abner goes back to Abner and says, hey, why are you sleeping with my dad's mistress? Why are you sleeping with my dad's lady? And Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, am I a dog's head of Judah? Like, are you trying to cut me off? Are you really accusing me of this? Does he say he did or does he say he didn't? Never answers the question. What do you think? I think he probably did, but there's no evidence of that. Either way, he's being accused of something where he says, like, well, Saul's not here anymore. She might as well be with me. Or he didn't do it, and he's being accused of something. It's like, wait, I'm not guilty. Either way, he feels justified in his own behavior. You know anybody like that? Say, yeah, I know the pastor. I feel justified sometimes in my behavior, you know, and then people accuse me, and it's a fight. This is what's going on. Abner was very angry. And to this day, he says, I keep showing steadfast love to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers, to his friends, and I have not given you into the hand of David. He said, what are you accusing me of? In fact, let's forget what you're accusing of. How about you ask the question, am I the one loyal to you, to your dad? I'm holding this whole thing together. How dare you come after me? Does this starting to sound like a soap opera? Yeah, it's going to be streaming on Netflix soon. No, I'm just... be awesome if they did a show about it, but anyways. And yet you charge me today with the fault concerning a woman. God do so to Abner and more also if I do not accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to him to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba. Uh-oh. You ever pick a fight with the head of an army? Don't do that. He says, hey, you don't like who I am or what I'm doing? Guess what? I'm gonna make sure our whole kingdom goes down and becomes part of David's kingdom. As God had said, ordained, or anointed. Maybe we should use that word today, right? Because he doesn't like what's going on. Did he overreact a little bit, maybe? Say yes. Is he also within God's will of the greater plan? It's weird because he's going to help put Israel and Judah back into one nation, one kingdom again. Even though he's a little off. Now, is that good news for me? Yeah. Is it good news for you? Yeah. Bonnie's convinced. Is it good news for you? Yeah. Well, how come? You can mess up and still be in his will. Now, is that the design? Are you supposed to mess up? No. But is he greater than your mess ups? Yeah. Amen. That's what we love about this. Okay, let's see how this happens. Ish-bosheth had nothing to say, right? Could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. And Abner sent messages to David on behalf, saying, to whom does the land belong? If you're King David and you get a message from the opposing army that says, hey, whose land is this really? What do you think it means? Oh, he wants to fight me. Watch, because Abner's going to make this his. Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all over all Israel to you. And he said, David said, good, I'll make a covenant with you. But one thing I require of you, that is, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face. Now, I'm not going to expect you to remember 2 years ago when we did 1 Samuel, because David's first wife was Michal. In fact, he was supposed to marry the older sister, and Saul pulled a fast one on him. So then he had to wait and said, well, you could marry my other daughter. And David said, well, absolutely. What's the bride price? He basically said, I want 100 dead Philistines. And David said, no problem. Took his army, went down, killed 200 Philistines, and then brought back proof. And David's like, well, at least they're mad. The Philistines are mad at David now. They'll be the end of his demise, and my daughter can be the one who gives me inside information. Yeah, we'll let you guys get married. That sound like a fun arranged marriage? But to David, it's his first love. To David, we don't forget. When we do covenant, when we get married, it's for life. Bring me my wife back. I love this about David. Valuing his wife. Amen, men? Yeah, where's my wife? Bring her back. In fact, don't even show your face unless you bring her, right? Then David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, the other king, son of Saul, saying, give me my wife. For I'm who paid the bridal price of 100 foreskins of the Philistines. See, I was trying to leave that part out. There's only one way to get those and give them to someone else. Someone has to die, right? And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, Paltiel, son of Laish, but her husband went with her, weeping after her all the way to Bahurim, Harim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." And he returned. Ooh, there's a little forced divorce. That's unhappy, unfortunate. That one hurt. Abner conferred with the elders of Israel. These are the leaders above around Ishbosheth, saying, "For some time past, you have been seeking David as your king. Now then, bring it about, for the Lord has promised David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" And Abner also spoke to Benjamin, another tribe. And then Abner went to tell David at Hebron all that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin thought good to do. Hey, we're all in this. We've all agreed. We know this is what God has ordained, so it's time. And when Abner came with 20 men to David at Hebron, David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, "I will rise and go and will gather all Israel to my lord the king, and they will make a covenant with you that you may reign over all that your heart desires." So David sent Abner away. He went in, what's that word? Peace. Very important. He went in peace. Abner decides he's going to make everything whole. That's kind of great. It's a goofy story as to how it came about, but we see God's promise to David, God's covenant, is coming true. He keeps his promises. His prophets are correct. He says, "You will be king, and you'll be king over the whole of the land." And bam, it's just happened. And who's it happened with? Kind of his number one enemy. I mean, Saul's gone now, so he can't be number one. He's not there anymore. But on the planet at the time, Abner's his number one enemy. And he has to give in. Be gentle. That's what he's going to say in verse 39. "I decided to be gentle." You know, Abner had to decide to put his ego aside and make an effort. It's great. It's a great example. In fact, these two knew each other, because from the time David was unknown to anyone, he was the little boy that showed up and said, "Why are we backing up from this giant? Why has nobody done anything? This uncircumcised Philistine shall not mock our God. Give me a stone and a sling. I'll take care of this." And when David kills Goliath, he chops off his head and he takes Goliath's head. And who walks him in to see Saul that they've won? Abner. It's a fun little story. Abner's been around and David have been around each other. I mean, most of their functional adult lives. And they come and it's like, you know what? We can do God's will. We can cooperate. We've been on the same side. We've been on opposite sides. Let's be on the same side again. I want you to use that line next time you're in an argument with somebody that you like or don't like. We've been on the opposite sides. Let's be on the same side again. Let's do that. And he left in peace. Very important. How long is that going to last? Not very. Let's go. Verse 22. "Just then the servants of David arrived with Joab from a raid." Joab is the leader of David's army. He's the opposite. In fact, last chapter, Joab and Abner had a little contest. Created a big old war. 24 guys died. Then they started a war. In fact, Joab started chasing Abner. And that was what I was talking about at the beginning today. Because Abner finally stopped and said, "Hey, we don't need no more bloodshed. How about you let me go on my way and I'll let you go on your way. And let's have this be over." And Joab conceded. We talked about in the ABCs last week of what you know, the C stood for, we know when to concede. And Joab knew. Let's find out if he forgot. Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in. He's jealous twice now? Okay. When Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told Joab, hey, Abner was just here, son of Ner. He came to the king, and king let him go, and he has gone in peace. Joab went to the king and said, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Abner came to you, and why is it that you sent away so that he's gone? Why'd you let him leave? You know that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you and to know you're going out and you're coming in and to know all that you are doing. He was scouting the place for his next attack, David. Now, is that true? No, we know the whole story. What's Joab know? He's the commander of the army, and you let him in, and then you let him out, and you did nothing. That's not how we do war. When Joab came out from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, and they brought him back from the cistern of Sirah. But David did not know about it. And when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately. That's the nice way of saying it. The rough way of saying it is that he struck him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. The reason he had been chasing him last chapter is because Joab's little brother was gone after him, and Ahab told him to stop, and he didn't stop. So Ahab turned around and killed his little brother Asahel. So we know why Joab wants him dead. But is he following the will of the king? No, because we sent him in peace. Afterward, when David heard of it, he said, I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner, son of Ner. He said, I didn't want this. This is not what we're supposed to do. This is not how we act. We don't hold people to the fire. May it fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house. And may the house of Joab never be without discharge, that's bleeding, leprosy, or somebody that holds a spindle, or who falls by the sword, or lacks bread. I want to make sure, God curse them. May they always have calamity because they took someone's life that they didn't need to. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. And then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And King David followed the bier, or bier. That's what they carry the body on, right, in a funeral procession. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. He cried for his enemy? And the king lamented over Abner, saying, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen. What's he saying? This was unjust. This was mistreatment. And all the people wept again over him. And then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. David, you got to eat something, man. Come on. It's a long day, bad day. Here, have a little food, right? But David swore, saying, God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. We're going to fast until the sun goes down, is basically what he's saying. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. Whoa. Though anointed king, he decided to be gentle. And when he acts that way, it's a blessing to the people. Last week in the ABCs, we said, hey, we know how to bless. You know how to be a blessing. You know if you were a blessing, and you know if blessing was here and you fell a little short. And the people always know. I love that. Because when I accept that, I realize, well, I can't hide from you guys. I'm me. That's it. I got to carry myself in such a way. It's either a blessing or it's not. By the way, is that true for you too? Right? Newsflash. So all, verse 37, so all the people and all Israel understood that day it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? Ooh. Guy know how to say nice words at his enemy's funeral? Love that. Knows how to value somebody, even when they had opposed him. I want to learn that. I'm learning that. I have many opposers. Right? And here's our verse. And the king was gentle, though anointed king. But these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. Are we supposed to be severe, apparently, according to David? The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. So apparently evil and wickedness exist. But may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? Amen. All right, let's take something from this. 39 verses of a kind of an odd story, especially since Joab, he kind of hit it out of the park last chapter when he could have taken Abner then. He would have been justified, but he showed him mercy, and then now he come back, and David makes a deal with him, and now you want to kill him? David takes a different tact, and he says, look, although I, just because I can, doesn't mean I should. And I love that. It bothers me when I'm talking with somebody and say, hey, why'd you do that? You did that thing and it affected them. And why'd you do that? Because I could. That's like the worst reasoning. You know? I think if I ever said that to my dad, I would have gotten so much trouble. Hey, why'd you do that, Scotty? Because I could. Come here. Just go to your room, you know, whatever. Let's find out what the anointed knew. What did David know? How is he carrying himself? And what's the example he's setting to the point that the people are recognizing it? The anointed show they care. The anointed show they care. Have you ever... Let's strike that sentence beginning and let's say it this way. Do you remember the times where someone has come and showed you that they cared, made an effort? I like the ones that I know are coming. I like the ones that I hope for. Even the better than either of those two categories, the unexpected, the thought impossible, where you feel lost or out there or something, and somebody shows up and says, hey, how you doing? What do you need? I got a phone call the other day. It was amazing. Wasn't expecting it. And the other side of the line was, hey, I was just thinking about you. I want to know how you're doing. Prayed for you today. Because you're awesome. Thank you for that. Right? How do you show you care? Yeah, everybody does it differently. Know yours. Your ways of showing you care. I like to give gifts. Hey, here's this for you. Hey, there's this for you. I like to show up. I like to attend. I like to say nice things. Love your hair. Do you know what yours are? Here's the best way. Ask someone else. How do you know when I am caring for you? The best answers I ever get are from Julie. When I do something and she says, hey, I really appreciate that, I feel like you're present with me. Well, I'm standing right here. No, Scott, you get me. We're connecting. That's a word we use. A little freebie, I'm letting you in the family, okay? And we connect. When we connect, that's how I know I'm doing okay. And she feels cared about. Remember the verse I pointed out and made a big deal about the people all knew? Because everything that the king did pleased the people all the time. Did he have to do that? Yeah. So take that excuse out. Hey, why'd you do that? Because I can. Hey, why didn't you do that? Because I don't have to. Terrible. What can you do? And the one that I really, the thinking, the logic that really works for me, and I've been trying to train my brain this way, when God puts me in a scenario, an environment with certain people, God has put me in an environment, in a scenario with certain people. I'm here on purpose. You sang it. In fact, if I really wanted to torture the AV guys right now, I'd say, hey, bring up the first slide of that one hymn we sang, right? Jesus paid us all. The first, what did it say? Because you're sovereign and you reign. They're amazing, aren't they? Well, that's the line, but the opening. It wasn't actually that song. I think it was the other song. It was the third song. Hey, you know what? It's in my pastor contract. I have to memorize Bible verses and passages, but I don't have to memorize song titles. It's in the fine print. I think it's the first slide of, anyways. Yeah, that one. Where's the sovereign and reign one? Just find that one, okay? That's the one. When I remember that, I'm get cooked. Thank you. All praise because you're sovereign. Praise because you reign. David's remembering that. He's remembering who's sovereign and who reigns. Why? Because he's waited his whole life to be king, and God made it happen at times where he thought it would never happen. Anybody have to wait a long time to have kids? Anybody have to wait a long time to get a job? Anybody have to wait a long time to get out of a job? I mean, I've lived all of those. Julie and I had to wait 5-6 years. I'm not going into that. But what was that like? When you come out of that, and then bam, 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 three, and you're like, it's a whirlwind. Oh, no. Right? What's that do to your view of God? Oh, he's in charge. He's in control. He's alive and well. He's active. And if he has me here in this environment, in this scenario with these people, what can I carry? What can I heal? What can I forgive? How can I show that I care? That's hard. Because more than half the time, I'm a little twisted in the head and a little disconnected from the heart. Right? I love, I've been thinking about this lately, this verse, and I think, I'll talk about this later. Trust in the Lord with all your, what? Trust in the Lord with all your what?
Heart.
Trust is a mental exercise. Why would I trust with my heart? Heart is for feeling and warmth and anger, right? Why does it say trust and then heart? Because the very next line. And lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean up here. Lean here. This doesn't always think. Heart knows, right? When you feel convicted about something, I mean, you think you understand what you did wrong, but your heart's clear. Scott, you were wrong. When you do something awesome. Does that happen up here? What's the greatness of when you accomplish something that was good? It's your heart. It feeds your soul. Show that you care. I kept reading over and over, and I looked up this word, B-I-E-R, found the three places in the Bible that it is, and I looked around. What did he do? Give it to us? Follow the bear. That's the funeral. He followed the bear. He doesn't walk out in front of it like the king could. He follows for Abner's funeral. He follows Abner and walks to show respect, to show that he cares. And he didn't even have to. He probably didn't even have to show up In fact, if he was David and he's king, he'd be like, why don't you guys go throw a big party? Here's a bunch of money. I got other stuff to do. Have a good time. He wouldn't do that, would he? He's gonna later. I mean, the irony and the fun of 2 Samuel chapter 3 and the excitement of, David's doing the right thing, setting good examples. The irony is he is going to absolutely fall off the wagon. Oh, you value marriage and your first wife, huh? Yeah, tell me about that in a few chapters. But right now, he's showing that he cares. And he's falling the beer. Do that. Find ways and people that you can care about. All right, that's number one. The anointed show they care. Number two, the anointed are. Well, we got two G's. I think if we this came out, yeah, here we go. The anointed are G with the G. Remember verse 39. What did he say he was? Oh, you think maybe the first G might be gentle? And who do you need to be gentle with? I'm gentle with all my favorite people who exchange gifts with me and invite me to dinners. That's who I'm gentle with. I'm being sarcastic to make a point. That's not who you need to be gentle with. Who was David gentle with? His enemy. Well, enemy doesn't start with an E. I mean, it starts with E, not a G, Scott. Yeah, I stretched this one a little bit. The anointed know how to be gentle with the guilty. That's tough. Because when guilty stand in front of me, especially if what they're guilty of affected me, it's very hard. He tore his clothes. He cried more than once. He followed the beer. And he said, you know what? What Joab did was wrong. But does he punish Joab? He sets Joab back at God's feet and says, hey, let God repay the evildoer for their wickedness. What's he saying? What's missing from that is because I'm going to be gentle. Even though I am king and I could, I'm going to value Abner, and I'm going to be gentle with Joab. Now you know why all the people were pleased with him all the time, right? Who are your guilty? Who are the people in your life that need some gentle from you? Here's the thing. I know within seconds, it's split seconds of me asking that question, those people pop into your head. Don't tell me. I got enough of my own. What can you do for them? How can you be a blessing last week? How can you be gentle this week? How can you show that you care? Because that's what the anointed do. That's what David has learned in his journey. Lastly, the anointed show they care. The anointed are gentle with the guilty. And the anointed know the Lord returns. And the very last sentence, he says, may the Lord repay. The Lord returns and he repays. Dad's coming back. Better clean the house. Dad's almost home. Oh no, I took apart Dad's stereo speaker. He's going to be home from work soon. How do I get this? How do I get Humpty Dumpty back together again? Return is either good or bad. When you've been waiting all day to see Dad, and you know he's cooking Mexican food tonight, there's nothing better than him walking in the door. Right? He worked at a restaurant in college, whatever, and he makes amazing Mexican food. And my point is, God is returning, and that can be a great experience for you. God knew, or David knew, that God was going to return on his covenant. He was going to show up and make him king. And he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. How long? Two. Too long. It's the same amount of time you have to wait for anything. Anybody ever ask you, how long to just say two? Say two what? Too long. It's going to wait way too long for this to happen. But when we know that at the end of that too long, God's plan is happening, what's that do to the heart? And how can we get the heart then to change the mind? Because he is going to return and repay. That can be good too, can it? I mean, at the end, it was like, hey, let's repay the wickedness of the evildoers. And, you know, that sounds really bad. Hellfire and brimstone, right? Sinners in the hands of an angry God, right? Jonathan Edward, my buddy, I was talking with somebody about that this week, and they went back and listened to a sermon. I said, man, that's some pretty hellfire and brimstone. When are you going to start preaching like that, Scott? Then they said, yeah, no, don't do that. We want the church to stay. It can be bad. Repay can be bad. And it can be amazing. Awesome. Wonderful. Why? Because God's in the business of blessing. He loves us. He keeps his promises. He's doing everything he can to get our attention. In fact, did the ultimate on the cross to say, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm capable, because you're valuable, and I will be gentle with you because I'm going to return and I want to repay you the stuff you don't even deserve. Amen? David figured it out. Joab dabbled in it, and then he crashed. I think Abner started to figure it out. Remember at the beginning I said, what do you think, Abner actually took Saul's mistress or not? And everybody's kind of like, yeah, I think so. What's the theme of the story? Abner's kind of coming back to the light, so he's turning from the dark side. Makes me wonder, maybe he didn't take the mistress. And he used it as an excuse to bring Israel back to where God said it was supposed to be. Find excuses in your life to do the things that are smack dab in the middle of his will. That might force you to deal with opposition, people, discomfort, whatever it is. Fight through that. Especially when the other person's making an effort and they're trying to show they care. What a great opportunity for God to heal and repay. Amen? If you never accepted Christ, it's the whole point. We say it that way, right? Have you come to salvation? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? You know what it really is? God's inviting you to relationship. God's inviting you to this stuff. And you can have that. He said, ask and you will receive. And maybe that's your prayer today. If you're watching online and that's your prayer, email us or something. I can't believe I just said that. Let us know. Let us help you. That's why we're here. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, thanks for your persistence. Thank you for how you keep at it. You keep at us. Thank you for the example that we get to see in David's life. All the terrible things he had to make it through. And yet you brought him through. And some would say it made him stronger. Your word showed us today that it made him wiser. More importantly, it made him connected with you. May that be our prayer, to be connected with you, Lord. And for those that are making that decision for the first time, maybe that's your prayer. Lord, connect with me and let me connect with you from this day forward. Lord and Savior, I'm yours. Father, we thank you for opportunities that you give us. May we recognize them. Thank you for the opportunity we have to receive offering now, Lord, and pray that you would bless what is brought before you today and do your will with it. We thank you for all this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Yes and amen. He returns and he repays. May you connect with him so you may enjoy your anointing. Amen? Okay, go with him.